Okay, we're going to start from Amar Mar on the Gemara in Samach Dalet Amar Aleph. Before we start, we're just going to quickly go over, to get us back into the flow of the Gemara, about what we discussed yesterday. Yesterday, the Gemara laid out three principles. The first principle is that a Shomer Chinam, that is Toein Tanat Ganav, a Shomer Chinam that makes a claim that it was stolen from him, and we later find out that he was really pocketed himself, that he stole himself, he will pay Kefa. The Gemara qualified that statement and said that's only true when it comes to a case where he took a Shavuah, where he took a Shavuah before, when he made the claim, he took a Shavuah, and afterwards he found out to have stole the item, then he pays Kefa. The other thing we learned yesterday was the principle that a Shomer Chinam that makes a claim of Toein Tanat Avida, makes a claim that it was lost and not stolen from him, and then he's found out to have pocketed the item himself. In that case, he will not pay Kefa. So we brought a Braitho yesterday. We brought two Braitho, each one trying to explain or to give us the sourcing of this item. The key difference between the Braitho was how they learned the Parsha of Shomer Chinam. In Shmot Perchav Bet, we have Pasukim, Vav, Zayin, and Chet. When it came to the Parsha of Shomer Chinam, those two Braitho learned them differently. One Tana learned that Pasuk Vav, which talks about Kitei Isha Reo Kesef Kalim Lishmor Began Gunav Mibeit Aish Im Yimatzei Ganav. We said Yimatzei Ganav, that's talking about a third party Ganav. That's talking about anybody who normally does Gneva. Yishalem Shnayim, and that's the source that someone who is Gonev, who steals from another person, and then is Kwat, he will pay Kefel. Then Psukim, Zayin, and Chet are talking about, according to this Tano, according to him, he's talking about a case of a Shomer Chinam, that is Toein Tanat Ganav. It says Im Lo Yimatzei Ganav, meaning that we don't find the real Ganav, but rather, meaning the person himself is making a claim that it was stolen and we don't find it, but in the end we find out that he was the one who stole it. And then that ends in Pasuk Chet with Yishalem Shtayim Nireel, he will pay Kefel. In between we have the Pasuk of Nikrav Bala Baita Elukim, and from that we learned yesterday from a Hekesh to the, or from a Limud, from Shomer Sachar, where it says, Shvut Hashem Yeh Ben Shnehem, Min Lo Shalach Yado, Min Lechet Reyu. But over here, Vinikrav Bala Baita Elukim, Min Lo Shalach Yado, that teaches that also Shvu'ah. So according to that Tana, first of all, we learn out Gneva, regular Gneva that you pay Kefo from Pasuk Vav. Then we learn out Toein Tanat Ganav. Toein Tanat Ganav is the case where Shomer Chinam makes a claim that it was stolen from him. And he takes the Shvua, we learn that from Nikrav Balabait Elukim. From that we learn that a Toein Tanat Ganav with a Shvua pays Kefo, according to that Tana. The fact that we exclude Avida, or a case of Toein Tanat Avida, we learn out from another Limud. The other Braisa learns that no, Vav, Zayin, and Chet are all talking about the same case. They're all talking about a case of Toein Tanat Ganav. The Shomer Chinam who makes a claim of Gneva. So if he makes a claim of Gneva, the Gemara asks, why do you need to say Toein Tanat Ganav twice? So the Gemara says, one is to teach me Toein Tanat Ganav is Chayav. That is Zayin Bechet. Plus, it teaches me when he called Balabait Elokim that it's only by Shvua is Chayav. And the other instance of Toein Tanat Ganav comes to teach me that it's only by Toein Tanat Ganav am I Chayav, but not Toein Tanat Aveda. The problem with this Tana, or that Braiso, was that we don't know, where do we know the word a pure Ganav, a regular Ganav who steals, how do we know he pays Kefel? According to that Tana, Vav, Zayin, and Chet, Psukim, Vav, Zayin, and Chet, which are in the Parsha of Shomer Chinam, all are talking about a Shomer Chinam who makes a claim of Gneva. So where is this case, or where is this regular case of Ganav, who goes ahead and just steals, and then we catch him after he has stolen the item that he has to pay Kefel? That we said, no problem. He learned that out. This is where we were finishing off the daf yesterday. That he learns it out from Tanya Bechizkiah. Tanya Bechizkiah learns it out from Shmot Perchavet, Pasuk Gimel. In Pasuk Gimel it says, Im himatzei timatzei biyado agneva. If this individual is found with the gneva in his hand, Mishorat chamor atzeh chayim shnayim mishalem, he'll pay Kefel, he'll pay double. So for this Tano, that's where he learns the limur, that's where he learns out that regular gneva pays shnayim. How does he learn it out? Or how does he learn out these items? Now, that's what the Gemara ended up. Tanabe Chizkiah had a limud. The limud was as such that we have the word Gneva. The Gneva is a ribui, is a klal. And then we have these principles. We have these individual items that are enumerated in the Pasuk, Shor, Chamor, Se, and Chaim. And each of these, we went through them. We went through each item, and we said, well, we needed each item because had I not gotten to the next item, I would have thought something. So what is that? If I had just written the word Shor, then I would only include items that are karev legabe mizbeach, only things that belong on the mizbeach. So I had the word seh be written. The word seh, I could have learned out of shor, because seh and shor are basically identical. So why did the Torah write the word seh? It must be to come and include everything. Where it says no, because if the common denominator between shor and seh is not only that it's karev legabe mizbeach, but also they are kadosh bibchora. Now, since they're kadosh bibchora, we've only included items that you're chayef are capable of kadosh bibchora. Where it says, well then, the Torah wrote chamor. Chamor, I could have learned out of Shor and Seh. If the common denominator between Shor and Seh is Bechorah, Chamor is also Kaddish B'Bechor and should be included. So why did the Torah write the word Chamor? The word Chamor is extraneous. If it's an additional item, it's coming to teach you that you are Chayav in every instance of Gneva, even things that are not Kaddish B'Bechorah. Every instance you'll be Chayav for a Kepo for Gneva. But it says that's not true. Why? Because there's another common denominator between Shor, Sin, Chamor, is that they are all Balei Chayim. They're all livestock. If they're all livestock, then maybe only livestock should be chayav. Animate livestock objects should be chayav in kefil, but inanimate objects, things that are not livestock, should not be chayav in kefil. The Gemara says, well, then you have another word, chayim. The word chayim, why do I need that? I already know balei chayim from the other three words in the psukim. So what does the additional word of chayim teach me? Oh, that's extraneous. That much teach me all the items. Everything is included under the parsha of gneva, and you pay kefil for anything that is stolen. But we didn't discuss, or what we took as a given yesterday, and I mentioned at the time that the Gemara is going to ask on that today, which we assumed was that, how is the Gemara learning? The Gemara seems to be learning from a klal upratu klal. That's what it seems like. The question is, where does the Gemara get that from? I mean, the pasuk only includes the word gneva. Gneva is a klal. And then it enumerates a bunch of pratim, of individual items. It says, shor, sech, chamor, and chayim. So first of all, where is this klal upratu klal? That's number one. Number two is, we have another issue. The other issue is that what really is written in the Pasuk is a klal uprat. We have a klal, which is gneva, and then we have enumerated items that are pratim, or individual items that are enumerated afterwards. And we have a principle. The principle of the klal uprat is that the aim baklal el mashu prat. The prat, when you have an individual item that comes after a general principle, we say that that individual item, that prat, comes to qualify or define the klal. The klal is only as big or is only as good as the pratim that are enumerated afterwards. If that's the case, that would very much limit what is included in this pasuk. So that's what the Gemara is going to test now. Amamar is coming to understand this whole brace about Tanit v'Chizkiya. Where are they learning it? What's the methodology by which they are learning over here? So the Gemara says, Amamar, Yomar Shor v'Gneva. Gemara says, well, you want to say Shor and Gneva. So what's the suggestion here? We want to say that it's a Prat and then a Klal. So we have, again, there are three different types of Limudim here. There's Klalu Prat. What we just mentioned, klal, we have a general principle, then you have a prat, you have an individual item. That individual item will define or qualify what is in the klal. Then you have a prat uchlal. The principle by a prat uchlal is we first have a limited item, and then we have a klal, a general principle after that. We learn in that case that it's merabeh takol, includes everything. The prat might exclude one little item, but in general that includes everything. Then we have a third principle, which is a klal uprat uchlal. Klal uprat uchlal, we are dan ke'ena prat. That means that the Klalim come to tell us, if it had just written Klal Uprat, the Prat would have come and qualified, defined, limited the Klal. The second Klal afterwards, the second general principle after, comes to teach me that we learn Ke'ena Prat, that anything, if we find the common denominator between the individual items that are enumerated between the two Klalim, between the two general principles, and we'll include everything that is similar to those items. Again, what are we talking about over here? So Gemara says, well, it seemed to be until now, the Gemara says, Shor and Gneva. Shor is the limited item, and then you have Gneva, which is the general principle. Seems to be they're working with a Prat Uchlal. So where it says, the first question is that really what's written in the Pasuk? So the Amamar, Yomar Shor v'Gneva, where it says, Miktiv, Shor v'Gneva. The Pasuk does not say for sure, and then Gneva, that it should be a Prat Uchlal. What does it say? It says, Gneva v'Shor hu dichtiv. What's written in the Pasuk is first a Klal of Gneva, and afterwards Shor, which is a Prat. And if they're Shor, Klal Uprat, that means that you would only be limited in the Klal to exactly what's written there, Shor, and nothing else. So Gemara says, alright, you know what, we'll say V'chitema, this whole brace of Tanabei Chizkiya is a theoretical case. Ilu Ne'emar Kamar, means that had it written Shor and then Gneva, which was a Prat Uchlal, then this all would have worked. You're right, Ein Ochanami, what's written in the puzzle because they Klal Uprat, so we can't learn this. But, had it written it the other way, it would have worked. Where it says, Ilu Ne'amar, Shor Gneva. Wait, had it written Shor and then Gneva, Umim Atzid Amart. How could, would that really work? Why? Ma Prat Mifurash of a Shor. Right, what's the Prat that is, we said before, the Tanabi Chizkiya quotes, Ma Prat Mifurash of a Shor Prat V'Gneva Klal. How can you explain the Tanabi Chizkiya before who says that we include everything that is like the Prat? Well, what do we have over here? Let's look at what we have. We have a Shor, which is a Prat. And we have Gneva, which is a Klal. Now we have a Prat Uchlal. What's the din of a Prat Uchlal? And that's a Klal Mosif al Prat. The Klal comes and includes everything, meaning it extends the Prat to include everything. If that's the case, Vidrebbe Lehu Kol Mile. Everything's included. So why is Tanabi Chizkiya just trying to come to include things that are similar to shur. If it's written like a prat uchlal, then everything's included. Ella kedichtiv kamrei. Must be exactly like it's written. Well, what's written in the pasuk? What's written in the pasuk is gneva, which is klal, and then the pratim that are enumerated here. If that's the case, gneva v'shur, mimatzid amart, hakol bichlal. How could you say everything's included? That was the conclusion of Tanya Bechizkiah, that we include everything here. Oma prat mufurash. Or why are we talking about what's similar to the prat over here? How about like gneva klal? What do we have written now? We have gneva, which is a general principle. We have shur, that is a prat, that's a limited item, or a defined term that qualifies the klal. You have a klalu prat. What is the definition? What do you do when you have a klalu prat? Aim bachlal alamasha prat. The klal, the general principle now, is defined or limited by what's written in the prat. So that would be shur in midachwin alo. That would be limit. Only time you'd be chayim for gefel or gneva would only be in a shur. Somebody says, Amarava, Tana achayim kasamichlei. Now he's relying on the word chayim. So now what is he saying? He's suggesting, Rava is suggesting over here, that our Tana, which is what it sounds like from when we read the Gemara before and the way I read it, was that there's a case of a klal uprat uchla. So now we know it's easy for us to find the first klal. That's gneva. Then we have the pratim. That's easy to find. Why? Because we have shor, chamor, seh. We, until this point, had said chayim is also a prat. Rava comes along and tells us, no, the word chayim in the end is a klal. So now I have a klal uprat uchla. I have a general principle, gneva. Another general principle, chayim. In between them are found shor, chamor, and seh. So now I have a klal uprat uchla. What's the din of a klal uprat uchla? And there, klal uprat uchla, we done ke'ena prat. Then we learn things that are similar to the number, the individual items that are enumerated between the two klalim. Where it says, wait a minute. The problem with that is, wait, over here in this case, the second klal is not similar or parallel to the first klal. For example, let's look at another pasuk where we have a klal uprat uchla. If you go back to pasuk chet, in pasuk chet it says, al kol davar pesha, then that's the klal. Then we have al shor chamor, al seh sama, which are the pratim. And then we have al kol aveda. So if you look at the two klalim, one is al kol davar pesha, and one is al kol aveda. They seem to be parallel, they seem to have equal weighting. I mean, it seems to be a very balanced type of klal uprat uchla. You have a general principle, some enumerated items, and then a general principle. But the first general principle and the last general principle look alike. In our case, that's not true. The first principle we have is gneva, which is all-inclusive, a riboy legamre, meaning it's anything that's stolen. And then we have something called chayim, which seems to indicate only things that are balei chayim, only including all livestock or animate objects. So that's the case, the first inclusionary word and the final conclusionary word are not balanced, they're not necessarily parallel. Can you create a klal uprat uchla in that instance? That's what Gemara says. Well, yes. Ha-tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. This is like Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel will come up a lot on today's daf. It comes up in Bava Kama, especially in Perek Meruba, because Tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, right, there's the Mechilta de Rabbi Shmuel. You have the Midrash Halacha, right, that is done by the base Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, and that Tana, it lays out principles of how we learn halacha. So here are some of the principles. Today we're going to see some of the principles they laid out, and this is one of them, which is Tana Rabbi Shmuel who the Chichai Gavna Darshei Klalei Uprati. That Tana Rabbi Shmuel lays out and says yes, that we learn klal uprat uchla. The base Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel learned a klal uprat uchla even when the first klal and the last klal weren't necessarily balanced or parallel. Okay, so now we've made that step. Now we have a klal uprat uchla. Let's look at this. This is the question that came up here in Tana Beis Kuska. Im hi matzei, ti matzei lomali. Right, so now if we look back at the pasuk, we have pasuk gimel. We have a first statement, im matzei, ti matzei, which sounds like a riboy, something inclusive. Then we have biyado agneva. Gneva is a general principle. Then we have shor chamor atzeh. And then chayim, we have a klal. So we have this im matzei, ti matzei, which is a inclusionary klal riboy term. Then we have a klal pratu klal. So then it says, Shnai Mishalem, you pay Kefel. So Mara wants to know, what do we need? Why is it necessary to have this additional riboy, this additional inclusion of imatzei timatzei? Why? Yomar shor v'gneva v'chayim v'akol b'chlal. Let's just say shor, gneva, and chayim, and everything will be included. Why? Because now you have a klal prat uchlal that includes shor. Shor will be the prat, and we'll include everything like a shor. Mara says, Ilu kein, ayiti umer, ma prat mufurash davar karev v'gam mizbeach. Well, if you're going to include things only that look like or similar to shur, that would only include things that go on the mizbeach. So, af kol akarev v'gam mizbeach. So then what do I do? I say, okay, mayesh, I would include se. One of the items that is common or would be similar to a shor would be a se. Shomer se, but then the pasuk explicitly says se, which was unnecessary. Are you se amor? So I already know, if I could have known se, I could have learned it out from shor, why did the Torah come and explicitly write se? So hamani mekayim, gneva, the rabot kol davar. Right, so I'm going to say that gneva comes to teach me to include everything. What does that mean? Yomar gneva, shor v'se, v'chayim v'kol b'chlal. I would have written gneva, shor v'se, and then chayim, and everything would have been included. Marzilu kein, ayitu mer, ma prat mefurash davar ha-kadosh b'chorah. I would have said, wait, the prat, what's the common denominator between shor and se? So we said, oh, karev l'gam izbeach should have been the common denominator. We don't. That's not any common denominator anymore, because we could have learned that out from shor by itself. The fact that I wrote se teaches, must be indicating to me that that's not the issue at hand. But there's another common denominator between shor and se, is that they are both kadosh b'chorah. So therefore, I would only include things, av kol davar, kadosh b'chorah. I would only include things that are kena prat, like the enumerated items, the limited items in between, which are things that are kadosh b'chorah. So where it says, mayesh kol avi, what would you have included? If I say kena prat, things that are similar to shor and se that are kadosh b'chorah, what else is kadosh b'chorah? A chamor. So then, mayesh chavi chamor. Ukshu omer chamor, then why does the pasuk lay out chamor explicitly? You could have learned them out from solely from shor and se. Why does it then go explicitly and write the word chamor? Hari chamor amor. So hamayni mekayim, gneva l'rabota kol davar. It must be that gneva comes to include everything. So Yomar says, Yomar gneva shor v'se v'chamor v'chayim v'kol b'klal. So let's just have it. We'll have gneva and chayim. We have a klal prat to klal. What are the pratim? Shor, se, and chamor. Right, we said, oh, they have a unique characteristic of shor is karev l'gam mizbeach. So, well, that can't be it, because the Gemara brought, the Torah brought down the word se, which was unnecessary. The fact that it did, it must be, that's not the issue. The common denominator between shor and se is kadosh b'chorah. We say, we could have included, we could have learned from that chamor. The fact that it writes chamor teaches me, that can't be the issue. But, what's the problem? Ilukein, ayit yomer, ma prat mefurash balei chayim, af kol balei chayim. Well, there is a common denominator between shor, se, and chamor that we haven't mentioned yet, which is that they're all livestock. They're all animate objects. They're balei chayim. So maybe only things that are balei chayim. So mayesh lecha avi, you only include shor balei chayim. You only include things that are livestock or animate objects. Shomer chayim, when it uses the word at the end, chayim, harei chayim amor. I already know balei chayim. I mean, in a sense, that I already knew, I could have learned the word chayim. Why do I need to have all these other names? Hamayim chayim. Gneva, the rabot kol davar. So then, that includes everything. So that's the way we're going to tell him. If that's the case, im himatei timatei, that riboy lomali. What do I need that riboy for? So now, at this point, the Gemara is learning out that we have a gneva, shor, chamor, v'seh, and then chayim are going to teach us everything. So if that's the case, then im himatei timatei is extraneous. Now, there are a number of problems with this. One, I'll point out two of the problems, the Gemara is going to get to them. Number one is that we just started to use the word chayim at the end for the klala batra. That's used for the klal at the end. The way the Gemara seems to be learning right now is that we have a klal of gneva, then we have shor, se, chamor, and chayim all being individual items that we can learn from. But wait a minute, we took chayim out because we needed it to create the klal of atra, to create the klal prat to klal, we needed the word chayim. That's number one. And number two, the other problem is, does the word chayim, the definition of the word chayim is balei chayim. So balei chayim, the word chayim really reinforces what the pratim said. Shor, se, and chamor say balei chayim. The word chayim says balei chayim, so why don't we just include balei chayim? So we're going to address or ask both these questions. Why says the ochi shaper kashale? If that's the case, if this is the way he's thinking about it, then it's a good question. Shum de lei pircha, right? Because there's a problem. What's the problem? The rabot kol davar mehechi kamaitila. To include everything under the term of gnevar that you'll be chayv for kevu for, where do we know this from? Michlal batro. We learn it out from the klal uprat uklal. Because had I simply had a klal uprat, then the klal, the original general principle, would be limited or qualified by the pratim, the enumerated items. So the klal abatra, the second inclusionary term, comes and includes everything, but everything ke'ena prat. Now this klal batra, klal gufe, chayim ktivbe. This second klal that comes to include other items or to expand what is included here, what is the word that's used? The word that is used is chayim. So now ktivbe. So klal pratuchlal, my kamahanilei. What does the klal pratuchlal help out here? Ila tuya kol davar hachayim ktiv. Right? If you're going to say, oh, the klal pratuchlal comes to include everything, then what the klal abatra says chayim. So next, the balei chayim in midir chinilo. So where it says mishum hachayitz trechim etzei timatzei. For that reason, I need the term right? Himatze, timatze. The word himatze, timatze comes to include everything. Why? Because now what I can do, now what I can say is, himatze, timatze is the klal, gneva is the klal, and the pratim are now shor, sechamor, and chayim. I will no longer need the word chayim for the klal abatra, but rather I'll use the word chayim as one of the enumerated items, and I'll have two klalim. One klal will be himatze, timatze. The second klal will be gneva. And then the pratim that fit in between are shor, sechamor, and chayim. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is that a klal uprat uklal has, like the example we saw in pasuk chet, is al kol davar peshe, you have a klal. Then you have al shor, al chamor, al se, al sama. Those are the enumerated items, or the more defined items. And then you have a klal veda, the extra klal. Klal uprat uklal starts with a klal, has pratim, and then it has another klal. The way we have it right now, we have imatzei to matzei is the klal, klal one, gneva is klal two, and then the enumerated items come afterwards. You have klal, klal, and then pratim. Is that also, when you have such a layout, is that also considered or qualified or classified as a klal uprat uklal? So that's the Gemara's next question. So he says, where it says, v'hashnei klalot tismicha dade ninhu. You have two klalot in a row. You have himatzei timatzei and gneva. Who says that that is a klal uprat uklal? So Amar Ravina, no problem, kam nei bar rova. That's what they say in Eretz Yisrael. Kol makom shata motze shnei klalot, hasmuchim ze lezeh. Find two klalot that are right next to each other. Hatel prat. Take the individual items that are enumerated afterwards and place it b'neihem in between them. Donam b'klal uprat. And then learn them as a klal upratu chlal. So that's exactly what the, right? This is exactly what they learn in Eretz Yisrael. Teaches us that principle, you're right. When you have a klal, klal and a prat, you change it or you move it or you make it look like a klal upratu chlal. So if that's the case, now we have our klal upratu chlal. We have himatzei timatzei. We have gneva. And then we have the items that are enumerated in between, which are shor, sech, chamor, and chayim. And again, chayim now becomes extraneous or unnecessary, because from shor, sech, chamor together, I would have learned already balei chayim. I already would have learned out only livestock or animate objects. The fact that I have that word chayim again repeated must mean that it comes to include more than just chayim. It comes to include even items that are not livestock or animate objects, and we've included everything. So that's how we get to the conclusion now. So Gemara says, let's test this out. How are you going to learn this klal upratu chlal? Shadi shor ben himatzei timatzei letuyei mai. What does that come to include? Ile tuyei balei chayim michayim nafka. We can learn that out of the word chayim. Right, the word chayim, had I just had himatzei timatzei, gneva and chayim, I could learn out livestock. So the word shor is definitely extraneous over here. So what am I going to learn out from the word shor? Right, so as Gemara says, okay, fine. So we're going to let you balechayim mechayim nafka. I will let you davar she'ein balechayim. So I'll include things that are not livestock or not animate objects. For davar shachi, ma prat mefurash davar mitaltel v'gufo mamon. Just like the prat here is defined, what's the definition of it? It's first of all, it's a movable object. It's not real property, not fixed property. V'gufo mamon, it has inherent value. Avko davar mitaltel v'gufo mamon. So now Gemara says, okay, that's great. So now I've explained chayim and I explained the word short. Now, but two, what about else? We have two more words in the pasuk, chamor and se. But two, shadei chamor, ben himatzei letimatzei. Right, so then we'll use the word chamor also between them to make it a klal upratu chlal letuyei. What does that come to include? Ile tuyei davar she'ein balei chayim. Right, if it comes to include things that are not balei chayim, mishor nafka, I already know that from shor. Ele letuyei davar misuyam. So Rashi's gears over here, it says it comes to include things that are misuyam. You remember before, on yesterday's daf, Rashi told us, what's davar misuyam? That's a davar that has a siman, things that have simanim. So Rashi says over here, it comes to include things that have simanim. The problem is that what's including this is se. The se always have a siman, the behemoth always have simanim. No, not necessarily. So how do you know simanim from this? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, he goes, about letuya davar misuyam in, about davar sheinu misuyam lo, umi ribuya dar shinin la. We learn this out from the riboy, the extraneous, the extra word of se, we learn this out from v'lomi mashmuta. It's not because that's what the word se means, and it's not from the meaning of the word, but it's because we have an additional riboy, you have something available, and something available, we're going to take those logical items that should be included. One of them is davar misuyam. Right? The yesh be'emot harbe, she'em be'em siman. Why? I can't learn it out from the literal meaning of the word se, because there are plenty of animals that don't have simanim. If you're going to do that, learn it out from shor too. Seh doesn't add anything else. So Tosus, on the other hand, has a different gear. So if you remember, Tosus learns davar hamisuyam is not simanim, but rather he gave two possibilities. One is that it has to be something that has a quantity or an established quantity or a quantitative claim to it. That was one possibility of a dormancy yam. The other possibility is it has to be a whole item. Can't take half a pomegranate or half a nut. It has to be the whole nut or whole pomegranate. You have to make claim on whole items over here. So that's what the Gemara Tosfos learns, that the Gemara says actually limi'ute to exclude davar she'eino mesuyam, something that is not complete. So again, if you now, from Tosfos, you can actually learn it out, mashmut of the word. The word is seh. So seh is either a whole item, it's talking about a whole seh, a whole animal, or number two, it's a quantity, right? It's one seh. So that we can say. And that's what Tosfos back on Samach Kimon Alv says, that the girsa over here should be limi'ute davar she'eino mesuyam. Because he says, where would we even have a hava minah to exclude it? I mean, Rashi comes to say we have to include something that has a siman. But the implications are that you were to exclude it to start with, and now you have to include it. So it says, where do you have a havamina to exclude any of these items? Right? Everything's included to start with. To exclude something that's not misuyam, that's the chiddush over here. And that's what Tosfos says. It's the me'ute davar she'eino misuyam. Fine. Where are we up to in the Gemara now? We have a klal uprat uchlal. We've used the word chayim to teach us livestock, animate objects. We learned the word shor to teach us even things that are not livestock, because it was unnecessary. It was already included in the word chayim. So shor comes to teach us even things that are not livestock or animate objects. They're included. The word seh comes to teach us what? According to Tosfos, the me'ute davar she'eino mesuyam, to exclude things that are not either quantitatively expressed or that are not whole items. Right? And that's excluded from the word seh. But wait, there's one more word in the pasuk we need to use, and that word's chamor. So what are you going to do with the word chamor? So the Gemara says, the two, shali chamor ben himatzeh l'timatzeh l'tuyimai. What's that going to include? Ilidar tu yedavar she'eino balei chayim. It's coming to include something that's not livestock or animate. Mishor nafka, that we know from Shor already. L'tu yedavar misuyam, according to Rashi, to include something that has a siman, according to Tosfos, to exclude things that are not, again, quantitatively measurable or whole, right? Then yachi selamali. If you're going to do that, then what do you need seh for? I mean, you don't need seh and chamor. So Gemara says, all right, this can't be the way where the limud is working at this point. Rather, we need to look at it in a different way. I'll tell you what we're going to do here is that we have a principle that's established by Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. There are two ways to learn the Torah. We're going to see this coming up in Perek Meruba. One way to learn the Torah is through klal uprat uchlal. The other way to learn the Torah is what's called riboy, miut, and riboy. Well, the difference between them, and we'll see this again coming up in the Gemara, but let's just talk about klal uprat uchlal and riboy, miut, or riboy. A klal uprat uchlal, if I have a klal first, the general principle, then I have a prat, which is a limited or defined term, we say ein baklal elo masha paprat. That comes to qualify or define the klal. When it comes to qualify and defines the klal, that's all that's included. Then I have a klal afterwards, another riboy comes afterwards and tells me, you know what, no, it's not limited just to this item, but it's limited to items that are similar to the prat. And that's what klal uprat uchlal says, ke ein prat, things that are similar to it. On the other hand, when you have a riboy and a miut, a riboy would have come to include everything, a miut comes to exclude some things. But when you say the miut comes, we don't say that the miut qualifies or defines the riboy that comes before it, but rather we say it comes and excludes some items, one item, maybe two items, right? It comes to exclude. How does it work? So actually, a riboy and a miut looks exactly like a klal uprat uchlal. You have a riboy, then you have a miut. The miut comes to teach me that include things that are similar to the miut. Anything that's similar to the miut, you're going to include. Now when I add a riboy afterwards, now what am I going to include? That means I'm going to include everything, because that second riboy, I don't need it to include things similar to the miut. That we already know from a riboy and a miut. Because again, as opposed to a klal uprat, where they have a general principle and the prat defines the klal, by riboy and miut, the miut does not define the riboy. Rather, the miut gives you information about what the riboy is including. So that's the case that when you have a riboy afterwards, the riboy comes and includes everything. So when you learn klal uprat uchlal, then we only include things that are ke'ena prat, that are similar to the unique item or the limit item in between the klalim. Then if you have a riboy, miut, and riboy, it includes everything. So if it includes everything, what's the miut doing? The miut will exclude one item. So until this point in time, we've been learning like a klal uprat uchlal. So now, the Gemara is going to tell us, wait a minute, our case happens to be an unusual case, and why is that? That rather, Ella, what's the case here? Ribo, umiut, or ribo, who? Because the Tana debri Rabbi Shmuel. Again, Tana Rabbi Shmuel coming up here, establishes for us a principle. What's that? The time that Rabbi Shmuel b'mayim beis pamim. This is a pasuk found by the kosher simanim for a fish. Sampir v'kaskeset. Over there it says the word mayim twice. Mayim is a riboy, and it says the riboy twice in a row. Mayim. Like in our case, where he might say, Hagneva, that we have a klalim that are coming in a row, two klalim that are coming right in a row. So Tani Beishmal establishes a principle for us. When you have a klal, upratu klal, when it's laid out like kol devar pesha, then you have a shor aser chamor val sama, and then you have a kol devar veda, that'll be darshan like a klal upratu klal. But if the two klalim are together, and then only afterwards the pratim are enumerated, then we don't darshan it like a klal upratu klal, but rather we darshan it like a riboy, miut to riboy. That they show from this posuk by the kosher simanim of a fish, that when it says mayim mayim twice, ein ze klal uprat. We don't look at it as a klal uprat, ela ribo miut to ribo, we make it into a ribo miut to ribo. So if that's the case, riba kol, right? So that, if that's the case, we include everything. So my rabbi, in our case, rabbi kol milay. So in our case, if you have that, we have these two klalim that come first, himatzei timatzei biyadu agneva. So the two klalim before the pratim, according to Tavir Yishmael, that looks like a riboy, miut and riboy, as we explained. A riboy, miut and riboy includes everything. That means everything now will be chayav in kefil. If a gabaganav steals these items, everything will be chayav in kefil. Where it says, yachi kohani prati lomali. Then that explains the first half of the pasuk, but then what do you need, if you're including everything, then what does shor, chamor, sen, chayim do for you? Why do you need those at all? Well, we said before, when you have a riboy, miut and riboy, that everything's included, and the miut comes to exclude specific items, and that's what we're going to do now. So yachi, kohani prati lomali, chad miute karka. One of them comes to exclude karka. V'chad miute avanim. One comes to exclude avadim. V'chad miute shtarot. So that will be the case. Karkaot, avadim, and shtarot will all be excluded from the parsha of kefil. They'll be learnt out from a specific exclusion from shor, sen, chamor. All right, that takes care of shor, sen, chamor. But guess what? There is one more word that we haven't dealt with that, and that is the words gneva and chayim, or chayim. What's gneva and chayim? The kederav. Now we're going to look like Rav. Now Rav actually is the beginning of tomorrow's daf, after the two dots, where we're going to stop today. Gemara's going to come back and discuss this principle of Rav. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But the Gemara says that we're going to learn from Gneva B'chaim L'Rav. D'amar Achya L'Karen K'ein Sh'Ganav. When the Ganav, when you come to make him pay, you make him pay like at the moment he stole it. What does it mean that at the moment he stole it? Because it says Gneva and Chaim. Chaim means when the animal's still in its full force and its full strength, he has to pay back the owner for that animal as if it was in that fence. What happens if the animal deteriorated or got weaker after a time after he had stolen it? We say to the ganav, no, you pay k'ein sh'ganav. Like the one you stole at the moment you stole it, it was a much stronger animal. You have to pay for the value then. You don't replace the animal today that is a weaker animal. How does he know that? He knows that from the word chayim. Chayim means like when it was alive and strong in its full force, that's when you pay back. Again, tomorrow's sukkah, but that's what we'll do with the word chayim. So now, we've concluded now. We have finished up for this Manda Amar. Now this Manda Amar, which is the Tana that we began in yesterday's daf, who explains that by Shomer Chinam, Pasukim, Vav Zayin Chet, and Perek Chav Ped, and Mishpatim, are all talking about Twain Tanat Ganav. Twice the Pasukim talking about Twain Tanat Ganav. Where did he learn out Ganav, a regular Ganav from? He learns that out from Pasuk Gimel, Shmo Perek Chav Ped, Pasuk Gimel. Im Himatzei Timatzei, V'yadu Agneva, Mishor Atzer, Achamor Atzer, Chayim, Shnai Mishalem. So the Gemara says, well, if he learns it out from there, how does he know that all items are chayav in kefil? Because over there we have limitations, and those limitations seem to be, at least in Havamino, only referring to Balei Chaim, only to livestock. So that's what the Gemara comes and says, no. Well, over there we have Himatzei Timatzei, we have a klal. We have a klal. Tanya Beis Shmuel comes and teaches that we learn it not as a klal pratu klal, but rather as a riboy, miut, and riboy. Learn as a riboy, miut, and riboy means that included everything. Once I included everything, then what do I need these other words for? The limiting words of shor, seh, chamor, and chayim. So the Gemara says, no problem. Shor comes to exclude karkot. Seh comes to exclude avadim. Right? And chamor comes to exclude a shtar. And chayim comes to mean the din of rav that the ganav pays kechayim when it was in its full strength or in its full force, ke'en sh'ganav, at the moment that he stole it. So now, what about the other tano? The other Tana learned that he learned Gneva out of Pasuk Vav from the first Pasuk by Shomer Chinam. He learned Toin Tanat Ganav from the Pasuk Zayin and Chet by the Shomer Chinam. What's he going to do with our Pasuk over here of Pasuk Gimel? He might say Timatzei Yedua Gneva. Why does he need two times to have the word Gneva listed here? What is he going to do with it? That's Gemara's question now. Ulaman, the man damar chad beganav, chad betoin tanat ganav. According to one by Shomer Chinam, that's one of the psukim. The first pasuk of Vav was talking about a ganav, and the second and third psukim zayin and chad were talking about toin tanat ganav. Ganav atzmo nafkale. Right, miyimatzei tametzei ganav. Right, hayimatzei tametzei my darish bay. Right, so he learned out. Where does he learn regular ganav from? In pasuk Vav, where it says imiyimatzei ganav yishalem shnayim. So then, hi matzei ti matzei, that's found in Pasuk Gimel over here. What is he there? My darsh base. This is my barilei to Rav Bar Ilai. He needs that for the drush of Rav Bar Ilai. What's that? The Amar Rav Bar Ilai, my time of the Rav. The Amar Modeh B'Knas, V'Chakach Bo'idim Patur. That a person who's Modeh B'Knas admits, right, to doing something wrong where he should pay a Knas, he is Patur. But not only Patur when he admits, but even if Edim come afterwards and say that he is Chayav, or say that he was guilty, he still will not pay the Knas. How does he know this? Tichtiv im hi matzei ti matzei. How does he darshan it? Im hi matzei be'edim. If he's found out to be guilty because of the edim, then ti matzei be'dayanim, then the dayanim will find him to do what? Ti matzei ha'dayanim yishalem shnayim, shnayim yishalem, that he'll pay double. So the only time he pays kefel, which is a knas, is when hi matzei, when edim found him to be guilty, then the dayanim force him to pay shnayim, they force him to pay kefel. What does that come to teach us? It comes to teach us that what? Prat Mashiach Tatzmo. If he himself is the one that made him guilty, even if Edim come later, that's not called Himatzei Timatzei. Because it's not the Edim themselves that made him guilty. He made himself guilty before the Edim ever showed up. If that's the case, he's going to be Patur from Kefel. So Mar says, okay, Olamandam or the other Tan who says Tarvayu Betoin Tanat Ganav. That by Shomer Chinam, the two Psukim, Vav, and then Zayin Chet, those two cases of Imatzei Aganav and Imlo Imatzei Aganav are talking about, both of them are talking about Toin Tanat Ganav. And then he uses this Himatzei Timatzei in Pasuk Gimel to teach him about Ganav Atzmo. Daim Imatzei Timatzei Makle, the Ganav Atzmo. He learned that from that. Mashmir Atzmo, Minoah. Where does he know that someone who makes himself guilty, who admits to doing something wrong, does not pay Knas? Where does he know this principle of Modeh B'Knas is Patur? He says, that's not a problem. We learned that out. Me'asher Yashir Ne'eluhim. Right? V'lo Me'ashiyat Atzmo. That says from the end of Pasuk Chet, by Yishomer Chinam, it says, right, that, Ki hu ze adalukim yavor udvar shenim, Asher Yashir Ne'eluhim, Yishalem Shtayim Ne'eru. The one who is made guilty by the courts, he will pay Kefel. Prat Le'ashiyat Atzmo. That excludes someone who makes himself guilty. It's only if he is from an external factor that makes him guilty will he pay Shnayim. But if it's he himself that makes himself guilty, Prat L'Mashiach Tatzmo, then he won't pay Kefel. So when I says, okay, what about the other Tana? The other Tana says, Chad B'Ganav, Chad B'Tuein Tanat Ganav, by Shomer Chinam. One of them is talking about Ganav, and one of them is talking the Pasuk Vav, and Imatzei HaGanav is talking about a regular Ganav. And the Pasuk Zayin in Ched, which says, Imlo Imatzei HaGanav is talking about Tuein Tanat Ganav. And he learns out Modeh B'Knas is Patur from Himatzei Timatzei. What does he do with Asher Yashirin Elukim? What does he do with this pasuk? Vasher Shiun Elohim. So he says, "Amalecha, how we violate the Modeh B'Knas Patur?" He says that teaches me that Modeh B'Knas is Patur. Wait, I thought we already learned that from Himatzei Timatzei. No, because there's two stages here. One stage or one item teaches me that Modeh B'Knas, if you admit to being guilty in a circumstance where your guilt will require you to pay a knas, you will be Patur. Where did I learn that out from? I learned that out from Asher Yashion Elukim. Right, or Elukim. It's only when Beis Din makes you Chayav. But if you make yourself Chayav, then you're not going to pay the Knas. Ah, then what do I need Himatzei Timatzei to teach me? That teaches me the additional item. Not only when you admit to doing the wrong item or that you are guilty, right, will you be patur from Knas? But even if you admit and you are guilty, admit to your guilt, and you're patur from Knas, even if Edim come afterwards and make you guilty, meaning that we don't need you anymore, we don't need your admission anymore, we can get this from the Edim, nevertheless, you will remain patur miknas. And so that's what that Tana learns. He learns not only are you Modeh B'Knas is patur, but Modeh B'Knas, V'chakach Bo Edim is patur. What about the other Tana? The other Tana that says that by Shomer Chinam, the cases of Imatzei Aganav and Lo Imatzei Aganav are talking about Toin Tanat Ganav. And he learns out regular Ganav from Himatzei Timatzei. And he learns out Modeh B'Knas is patur from Asher Yashion Elohim. Then where did he learn out that Modeh B'Knas, V'chakach Bo Edim are patur? Guess what? He has no limud. And you know what he's going to hold? That's what the Gemara is going to say. Mandamar tevayu b'tuein tanat ganav, kasavar, Modeh B'Knas, v'chachach v'avidim, is chayav. He's going to have to learn that they're chayav, because he doesn't have any pasuk to teach him that they are patur. Okay, now the Gemara says, ula mandamar chay b'ganav, v'chay b'tuein tanat ganav, denaf klei ganav mehatam. He learns out ganav from pasuk vav by the parsha of Shomer Chinam. Bishlomayim atzei timatzei l'k'tarava bar Eli. So you explain how he uses part of Pasuk Gimel, which is Himatzei Timatzei. He loses that to learn out the principle of Rav Bar Ilai, that Amodeh B'Knas and Achakach Bo'edim is Patur. Aval Kohani Pratei Lomali. What does he need? Okay, fine, you explain him, Matzei to Matzei. But what about Geneva, Shor, Seh, Hamor, and Chaim? What does he do with all those items? It says, Ketana Be'er Rabbi Shmuel. Again, another principle established by the Tana Be'er Rabbi Shmuel. What is that principle? The Tana Be'er Rabbi Shmuel, Koparsha Shinemar Benishnit, Lo Nishnit El Adavar Shinit Chadeshba. When a parsha is repeated to teach you a new principle, it may go ahead and repeat all of the items that I mentioned in the other parsha, even though it teaches you absolutely nothing. And even though it's only come to teach you one new item, it will repeat or duplicate all the items that are mentioned in the other pasuk. So if that's the case, right? If that's the case, then what happened over here? We already know all these exclusions from Shor, Chamor, Seh, Chayim that teach us to exclude Avadim and to exclude Shtarot and to exclude Karkaot. We know that already from Pasuk, Vav Zayin, Chet. We know that from the Parsha of Shomer Chinam. So therefore, it's unnecessary to bring it again in Gimel. Ah, so why does the Torah then repeat it or duplicate it in Pasuk Gimel? Well, because Pasuk Gimel taught us something new. What new thing did it teach us? It taught us, Imatzei Timatzei, that someone who's Modeh B'Knas, makes the Mishnah Knas, and Edim come afterwards, he's still Patur. That additional item is sufficient to demand for us to write a Pasuk that duplicates everything else. So everything else in the Pasuk will be irrelevant. It is just a duplication of what we learned by Shomer Chinam. And it's only mentioned there, it's only duplicated to teach us the new din, and the new din is Imatzei Timatzei, and that's the principle of Tama Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Now the Gemara is going to go back and test an axiom. We have made, until this point in time, we've assumed that, and that was one of the questions the Gemara had, that by Toyin Tanat Ganav, with the Shomer Chinam that claims it was stolen from him and he really pocketed it, he'll only be Chayav Kefil if he takes a Shvu'ah. The Gemara's assumption, or an axiomatic assumption, was that until this point, but a regular Ganav, when it comes to a regular ganav, he will not need to take a shvuah to become chayev and kefil. How do we know that? Because we said before, the Gemara says you can't make a tal v'chomer. You can't learn out ganav from toyin tanat ganav. Why? Because When we learn a tal v'chomer from toyin tanat ganav to ganav atzmo, we know by toyin tanat ganav, by a shomer chinam, who makes that claim, he's only chayev kefil if he takes a shvuah. So the implications of that would be that a regular ganav, if we learned it from Toyin Tanat Ganav, would also only be Chayav Kefil, where he took a Shavuah. So, the Gemara rejected that. So the Gemara had an axiomatic fact, or gave it as a hanacha, a principle that a ganav doesn't take a Shavuah. The Gemara says, how do you know that now? Vema ganav atzmo b'shavuah. Let us say that a ganav himself takes a Shavuah. In order to be Chayav and Kefil, you have to take a Shavuah. It says, lo sakadatcha. That can't be the case. Why? The Tanya, Rabbi Yaakov, omer shnayim yishalem, shalo b'shavuah. The pasuk says Shnayim Mishalem. In pasuk Gimel says Shnayim Mishalem. He pays kefil by a regular ganav. He pays kefil. No shvuah. It says, where does it say no shvuah in that pasuk? The Talmud says lo b'shvuah. When lo b'shvuah? Maybe it means with a shvuah. Maybe it means without a shvuah. Where do you have any proof that it means without a shvuah over here? It says, Amar lo kachaya. That's not it. Can't be that way. It says Amar lo kachaya. It's not that way. Amar Bai lo lichtov Rachman Shnayim Mishalem beganav v'leit to become mechomer toin tanat ganav. I'll tell you why. Because if you thought that a ganav, right, should pay kefil only when he takes a shvuah, you wouldn't have to write a separate parsha for a ganav. Why? Because I would have learned it out from a kal v'chomer from toein tanat ganav, which the Gemara is going to do in a second. If I learned it out from a kal v'chomer from a toein tanat ganav, we said before, that when I learn out a kal v'chomer, I can only be as stringent and only as good as the one I'm learning from. That's toein tanat ganav, a shvuah. So if I wanted to teach you that ganav needs shvuah, I didn't need you to write ganav at all. I would have just learned it out of toein tanat ganav. If the Torah then, anyway, comes and explicitly states, he has to pay his double, he has to pay kefil, must come in to teach you that it's not like toein tanat ganav, and means that it doesn't need a shvuah. Right? What's the kal v'chomer? Ma toein tanat ganav debe terav atli yadei. Toein tanat ganav, how did the object get to his hand? He was given to him to watch. He got it in a permissible manner, and nevertheless, the pasuk says, I'm required to shlim tshrei, that he should pay double, he pays kefil. Ganav atzmo, to be surah to the yodei, by ganav himself, when he acquired it in an illicit or illegal manner, so there it's clear that he should be chayav kefil, lo koshkein, certainly. And that koshkein would teach me that a ganav, just like toin tanat ganav needs a shvuah to have kefil, so too a ganav will need a shvuah. So why does the Torah come and say, Elishnayim Yishalem Dichtav Rachman B'Ganav Atzmo L'Amali? So why does the Torah come and explicitly say by Ganav he has to pay Kefil? Must be Dafilu Shalor B'Shvuah. The only reason it needs to be explicitly state Ganav means because it's different than Toyin Tanat Ganav. How is it different? He doesn't require a Shvuah. Now the Gemara challenges for both of the opinions, both of these Tanaim. How can we use the word Himatzei Timatzei for the Drashot that we just laid out? We need the Himatzei to Matzei for another drusha. That's the drusha you're going to use it for. Each Tana according to his reasoning. We need it for a brisa. What's the brisa? Yado. I only know that a ganav who steals with his hand, meaning he physically picks up the item and takes it, then he'll be a ganav and he'll have to pay kefel. From where do I know, or from whence do I know, that even if his gago, chatero, v'karfifo, minayin, how do I know that if his property acquires it on his behalf, right, or he does the stealing on his behalf, that he'll also be chayav, maybe even in a passive form, not only if he actively steals it, but even if his property acts on his behalf to acquire it, that he also will be a ganav. So what's the case here? As Tosus points out, we know there's a principle that a chotzer shel adam is koneh b'shvilo, that the property of a person can acquire on his behalf. So we know that when it comes to an object, I want to acquire something, or it's something positive, then my chotzer can act on my behalf to acquire it. How do I know that a chotzer can also act on my behalf for something to my detriment, in order to make me chayav for gneva? So the case here, according to Tosis, is a case where he kishav makel. He hits the animal with a stick. He never picks it up. He never grabs it physically. And then it ends up on his property. So now he's acquiring it through his property. How do I know that works? By a chatzer. Mar says, well, that's no problem. Im he matzei, timatzei mikomakom. Not only he matzei in a case where he's actively taking, but even timatzei, when it's found on his property, found in his possession, will be chayav, even though he didn't actively steal it. So that's a basic question. We know that, how does a chatzer work? A chatzer works as an extension of the individual, or a shliach, as the emissary of the individual. If the chatzer is the emissary of the individual, we have a principle that there's a shliach when it comes to schutim, when it comes to schuyot, there is a principle of shliach. But we have another principle, which is ein shliach l'dvar aveira. So how can your chatzer act on your behalf, right, to execute acquisition, which is going to make you chayav and geneva over here? That's a shliach l'dvar aveira. So if you remember from when we did the sugya of shliach l'dvar aveira, we spoke about the fact that shliach l'dvar aveira, when we say ain't shliach l'dvar aveira, that only applies to, well, the machlok is there, but only applies to someone who is a bar da'at, and only applies to someone who is a bar chiyuva. It's actually, there are two different tanaim who qualify it, and you have nafkamino between them. But both of them require either that he has to be a bar da'at or bar chiyuva. Now, when we say that ein shliach l'dvar aveira is when the other person has ability to think independently, or when the other person is also obligated to be shomer Torah mitzvot. But when you have somebody, or your shliach is, number one, not a bar chiyuva, and number two, he's not a bar da'at, then we said there is a shliach l'dvar aveira. And that's what's happening in your chatzer over here. Your chatzer is acting on your behalf, acting as a shliach, right, because he's, number one, doesn't have dots. Number two, is not a bar chiyuva, and therefore you could have shliach l'dvar aveira here. That's exactly what you do. Your chatzer is acting on your behalf to do the gneva. And now we learn now from himatzei timatzei. If that's the case, how can we have other limudim from himatzei timatzei? Where it says, im kei lemer kra o himatzei himatzei o timatzei timatzei. The Torah, when it wanted to use a double lashon, it should have used the same word over again. Why does the Torah not only double the lashon, but change the word? Medishoni kra, it says himatzei timatzei, shmamina tarti. Therefore, we can learn two things out of it. Well, that depends on which Tana, which two things you're learning. According to the Tana who learns that the Parsha of Shomer Chinam is talking about both times in Pasuk Vav, Imatzei Aganav, and in Pasuk Zayin of Imlo Imatzei Aganav, talking about Toein Tanat Ganav, where the Shomer Chinam makes a claim of Gneva from him and it's found out to have stolen himself, then the word Imatzei Timatzei is going to teach me these two things. One is that Gneva, all items are included in the Parsha of Gneva, and you're going to pay kefil for them, except for the items that are excluded from Shor, Sech, Hamor, and Chayim. Otherwise, you're going to pay, right, for everything. So that's what I learned out from Himatzei Timatzei. In addition to that, I also learned out that the way you can steal, not only is called stealing when you actively take the object, but even if it ends up in your property by your encouragement, or your property acquires it on your behalf, then you become a ganav, even in that instance. So those will be the two things you learn from it. According to the other Tanu, who says by Shomer Chinam, that one pasuk Vav, Himatzei Aganav, is talking about a regular ganav. And Imlo Timatzei Aganav is talking about a case of Toein Tanat Ganav. Then he used the word timatzei to teach us that mode beknas v'achakach bo'idim is patur. So that's one thing he learned from it. And in addition to that, he also learned that b'gneivat, you don't have to physically be a doe, you don't have to pick it up to be chayv and gneiva, but also even if your chatzir acquires it on behalf. So he'll learn those two principles. Mode beknas v'achakach bo'idim is patur, plus that even a ganav whose property acquires on his behalf is acting the passively ends up doing the gneva, of course, with his das, with his knowledge, right? In that instance, right, he will also be classified as a ganav or having done gneva. Okay, we'll stop over here.